right, gang, it's time for Puck Off. I'm Fraser Smith, and my partner Joe Bartnick is back in New York. Got stuck in that snow drift. What's going on, man?
Yeah, man, the blizzard of 2015. It lasted about 5 hours, but everybody got scared. They shut everything down.
Well, it wasn't quite as bad as they thought it was going to be, right? But it was still pretty bad.
Yeah, well, you know, not so much in New York. I mean, I think they got like 8 inches, 12 inches, but I mean, they're kind of used to that, you know. If they canceled my plane like the day early, but I probably would have made it out, so...
Well,
we're here.
Yeah. Well, they didn't know what was going to happen. They thought this was going to be a big one. But glad you're safe and sound there. How's the show? How did the shows go?
Well, I mean, the shows at the Funny Bones in Hartford and Syracuse were amazing. We actually ran into some, the AHL All-Star Game was up at the casino. We were hanging out at Smoking Cigars. So we met some hockey fans up there. Just a great time at my home base, The Stand in New York, and tons of Puck Off fans everywhere that love the show. And we love you guys. And it was just great. Great being in a hockey part of the world, you know?
Man, that's so awesome. It's great to have all those East Coast fans. I love it, man, right? It's awesome. And thank you, Puck Off fans. Well, I guess we'll start with the All-Star game because we just had that. And that was like a basketball score.
Yeah, I didn't catch any of it. I just saw some of the highlights. I heard you were watching a bunch of all that stuff, weren't you?
Well, I just watched the draft. I thought that was interesting. It was the funny part there was that, first of all, the highest vote getter was that guy from Latvia for the Sabres. What's his name? Zemgus Gurinson? He got 300,000 more votes than Kane did. I mean, that's like, you know, yeah, the highest amount of votes. And he was real kind of humble about it. He says, well, all of Latvia got behind me. That's a bad impression there. But anyway, yeah, he was the top vote getter, and it was kind of fun to see how the draft kind of went, you know, and nobody picked Ovi. And that was the funny part. He kept sitting in there, and then he was pretending to be upset, and he kept looking at his phone and then looking kind of pissed. And then they picked. I think he was second to last to get picked.
Yeah, and then he got a car. They gave him a car anyway because I guess the last two guys would get cars so they don't feel hurt.
Yeah, that's right.
And they gave Ovi one anyway. He gave it to charity, which was cool.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And it was cool. He pretended like he wasn't going to come out of the waiting room. At first, yeah, he was pretty funny. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's like a lot of all-star games in a lot of sports. Nobody wants to get hurt, so it just becomes kind of a no-defense, all-offense kind of deal.
Yeah, I mean, I even watched the AHL all-star game, and that was even worse because this guy's not playing defense with not that much skill.
Yeah, right.
that's what I did catch. But then the draft is an interesting moment. So I watched a lot of the highlights, and it was, you know, everyone takes their teammates, but I guess they traded Sagan for Kessel.
Yeah, that was
which
weird.
Which is kind of funny. There's a trade because, you know, that was the two Boston trades. You know, they traded Kessel.
Yeah,
and they traded Sagan. So those two got traded for each other. I guess they had the same. I guess Sagan and Stamkos had the same pair of shoes on. And Catherine Tappan then commented that they both had the same shoes on. And, you know, probably my man crush, probably even more than Lucic this year. Brian Getzlaf, Eckler.
Yeah.
This is an E.
Yeah, he was funny. He was funny on the stand there. And, yeah, she's easy on the eyes, isn't she? And very sharp. She did a good job hosting that.
She's the best.
Yeah,
she's the best.
Very good. And it was fun to watch. Did you watch the skill competition?
Yeah, that's what I did catch. And that is actually more interesting to me than anything else is the skills.
Well, yeah. Now, who wound up having... all right, who had the hardest shot?
That was Shea Weber.
Oh, okay.
He missed the net a couple times, so they couldn't register it. And he just cranked it up. I mean, it was insane. It looked harder than Chara's used to look.
What was this? Did they have a velocity read on that?
Like 101, 102, or 101.8.
Wow. That's cool. Who was the fastest skater?
Fastest skater, Jonathan Druin from Tampa Bay, the young kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but what was interesting, the neatest part was that Kessel raced Sagan in a race.
And who won that?
Kessel won that.
Did he? Okay. Was that close?
It was funny too, because you know how much of a guy Taze, what a good guy Taze is.
Right.
The captain. He actually said that Kessel's a very coachable guy, and that's why he wanted him on the team.
That's diplomatic.
And Kessel's the whipping boy in Toronto. So right. That was really funny.
That was funny. The guys were funny. All right, so fastest skater, and then let's see, who had the most accurate shot?
Well, Jonathan Kane. And Kane's just amazing. I mean, what more can you say? Oh, I'm sorry, Patrick Kane. He's on my docket. Patrick Kane. He hit the plates in like 4 seconds, or like 11 seconds. That's why when you watch him, you can see he's that good. I thought he'd be up there for the accuracy.
Right. Yeah. He is. Now, what about the plate competition? I always love the plates.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, you're talking about the plates? Oh, that's the accuracy.
Yeah, there is one I didn't understand in the highlights. It was like the fenceman passing to someone and doing something or other, which I couldn't figure out with the sound down in the bar.
Okay.
That's what I go through for this show. I sit at the bar and watch the highlights.
How did Letang do in this?
NHL Network.
How did Letang do in the skating?
The Penguins, that's an interesting subject we got to get into. Malkin and Sid both missed the game.
Really?
And Malkin legitimately hurt.
Oh, no, I know Sid was out. I didn't know Malkin was out. Sid was out.
Yeah, Malkin didn't play either.
And Sid's coming back tonight, right?
Yeah, he got injected, and then the penalty was they wouldn't let him play the next night.
Ah.
So it's like the league is like taking a fake game and making it more important than a real regular season game.
So he had to sit out the All-Star game because of that?
No. Sid sat out.
Oh.
Sid and Gina sat the All-Star game. So as a penalty, because they just didn't want Sid thinking, I'm just going to not go and go to Jamaica, they made him sit out a regular season game.
I gotcha. Right. Okay, gotcha. So, all right. So is he back tonight or no?
He might be back. I don't know. I mean, because he legitimately was injured. So we'll have to see. But we'll get into that a little bit later. We'll talk about what's going on with the Pens. Because I want to talk a few more things about the All-Star game. What are your favorite memories of any All-Star games, Frazier?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. You know, I think really we need to do something about it to give it a little more meaning. Because, you know, there have been some fun, exciting displays during the All-Stars, but I think that, you know, like with baseball, now it means something in baseball to win the All-Star game. Right? It can mean.
You think that makes a difference? You think they really care, the players, about
they have to a little bit because it gives home field advantage in the World Series. You know?
Yeah, I know, but I mean, like, you know, most of those teams know they're never going to even make the playoffs.
Well, that's true, too. And there's a lot riding on that. I don't know if you can give home ice advantage just from one game. But it just seems like there's some way to maybe perk that format up. You were talking about the Russian All-Stars playing against our All-Stars. I think
the KHL, that'd be great. Well, you know, they're actually going to start the World Cup of Hockey now in 2016. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, I did see that. That's cool.
It's going to be awesome. There's going to be Russia, United States, Canada, Sweden, Finland, Czech Republic, and then a group of all the countries that didn't, a team of all the countries that didn't have an all-star, have a team, and then North American under 23 all-stars.
Oh, that's cool too. I like that.
Yeah, I think the under 23 guys got a shot at beating the old guys.
Well, they might. They might. It's like we were saying. The guys who got left off the All-Star ceremonies this year might have beat the guys that were on. A lot of times
absolutely.
That's true. You know? Yeah, we had a pretty good team there.
But look at all the kids, you know, like, that would be playing, you know, like, first of all, you have all the rookies coming in, but they just have the young kids, you know, like Brendan Saad and, like, Johansson and all the All-Star MVP from Columbus this year. They'd all be on the under-23 team.
Sure, Johnny Hockey.
Yeah, Johnny Hockey.
All those guys.
Forsberg,
yeah.
I mean... Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about all the All-Star games I've watched and sat through. I really have two great memories. One is like when Lemieux scored like 4 or 5 goals in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
like his coming out party. Other than when he took the pass in the Canadian Cup from Gretzky, and then the other one was when Roenick threw a hit like 5 years ago.
Well, it was a pretty distant.
It hit the guy, and people were like, "Oh my god, they're going to stop the game."
Yeah, right. Because nobody ever throws a hit in the All-Star game. Well,
I always love the skills competition because that's where you see the fun stuff. That's where, like, I remember when Francis and Lemieux, we were like the passing, setting up the plates, and then and they had this like IF Brady just taking shot. Like, when it was the original. Part of the shot competition was like the IIF Brady Award. And then, I remember Obi doing the shootouts, and they'd have Malkin, he would dress up in sunglasses and cowboy hats and stuff.
That was
exciting than the game when people skate around, you know?
I think that's cool. You're right. The skills part of it is the fun part. And I don't know if there's a way to make this thing, more exciting. I do like the idea of the Russian All-Star game against the KHL. That'd be cool.
Because the Russian guys truly don't like the Americans.
Yeah.
And the Canadians. I mean, they didn't even like when Gino and Obi went back. Remember, they didn't play him in the Olympics.
Yeah.
That league has a chip on its shoulder. Like, yeah. it would be an old school Cold War game.
You see, that's what I like. You know, I think that would brighten things up. How good do you think KHL is compared to NHL?
The second best league in the world. It's better than the AHL, but it's not as good as the NHL.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Well, maybe they'll do something with that format, because this year's game was kind of silly almost. I mean, a lot of goals, you know, the fans like that, but too many goals.
And that's why I'm asking you, the captain, but do people really like that? Like, they say it's great for the kids. Is it great for the kids to see, like, a bunch of guys lollygagging around and no one really trying?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's good.
Yeah.
I don't think that's good. And I get the point about not wanting to get injured. You know, we talk about the Olympics a lot, and remember a lot of top stars got injured in the Olympics, and Tavares, who scored 4 goals in this All-Star game, was knocked out for a lot of the season last year, and a lot of big stars were due to Olympic injuries. So, you know, you wonder, you know, if you go all out in an All-Star game and somebody gets hurt, you know, it's the Ray Fosse syndrome, you know.
that's why I think it can't – that's why they're – the only way that will go all out is if there is actually some genuine emotion.
Yeah, and I think playing against the Russians.
And if the KHL guys come in here and start talking smack and someone sleuth-foots Tavares,
then it's on. Then it's on, bro. The Cold War is happening again. I always loved those Russian series. I thought they were exciting, and the whole country gets into it, because there is still that feeling that, in Canada especially, they want to prove they're the top country for hockey, and it's always been that way against the Russians. I think that might be a good idea.
Yeah, and you plugged it. I think I'm gonna try to see it this weekend. You plugged, the greatest defenseman of all time, Slavoj Fetisov, his movie.
Well, for Steve, yeah, that's an awesome film. I haven't seen it. I just read an article about it. I really want to see it. Red Army.
I'm going to try to catch it this weekend. I actually rather watch that than the Super Bowl.
Well, you probably would. But I'm hearing great things about it and about that, the whole story there. And of course, a lot of the Russian players. He didn't have to, Festivov, but everyone else did have to send their salaries, part of their salaries, back to the government. That was the only way that they let him go, And then he refused to, and that started the different trend, And, of course...
Well, he refused to because he was backed big time by Russian organized crime.
Ah, well, that never hurts. If you're going to refuse something.
I actually read a book about how the NHL had its, or the Russian mob had its pangs or fingers into the NHL stars.
Ah.
And most of those guys forever had to, Burleigh, all those guys had to send money back.
Yeah.
Or they had to have, another Russian gangster, say, no, he's mine. And, basically, it was one of the first things the Russian mob did after the Cold War ended was get a hold of all the hockey players and extort them.
No wonder all those Russian gangsters were at the Joe hanging out.
Well, they called Batistov the Godfather. That was his nickname.
Wow, really?
That's why it was such a big deal whenever Bowman got him from New Jersey. All the Russians, Fedorov, just so looked up to him.
He came
to Detroit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you sure helped us.
But I'm not going to say much more because I'm too close to Brighton Beach.
You want to get buried in the sand up to your neck. We don't need that.
No, I want to get back. I want to see your handsome face. I want to do one more live fuck off.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, we miss you when you're not here. Man. We miss you. But I tell you, it's an exciting time of year now because now here we go into the home stretch. And a lot of interesting stuff, man. I'm worried about the Kings.
Crazy.
I'm worried about the Kings. They're three games out right now, and behind Calgary. And they've got Colorado coming on, and Dallas is coming on a little. So they're in a weird...
Let's talk about what they did a couple of days ago. They waived Mike Richards.
Yeah, yeah, and... People said something was going to happen there, but that's, he's a great player, but, something had to happen.
Well, he's really crapped the bed the last 2 years, and he begged GM D. Lombardi, they want to trade him in the summer, and he really could have probably went this summer. But now, his contract's an albatross.
Yeah, it is. That's the thing.
No one wants him. They're saying maybe he goes to Toronto for Clarkson or Phaneuf, just to change the culture in Toronto, just to get rid of, because Clarkson, I guess, he's a little bit more productive than Richards. They're both completely disappointing.
Well, yeah, he has been disappointed.
Just to change the culture. But, or maybe you have to go back to Philly because they're great at taking stupid contracts. But, he's
going to
be a monarch.
Well, yeah.
No, he's not going anywhere.
No, that it is an albatross. And when I say he was a great player, I mean he was a great player. You're right. The last couple of years hasn't been and has a big salary. And, yeah, it's a tricky one. I guess they're going to send him to Manchester in the AHL. But, the Kings need defense. If they could pull off a trade with Toronto, that'd be, they've got to get some D.
I can't believe, I was a Mike Richards despiser when he played in Philly, but, I turned into a Mike Richards fan, and I am a Mike Richards fan, but I can't believe that they would trade Dion Phaneuf for Mike Richards.
No, it doesn't seem like a good move for them.
I know Toronto needs leadership, but I don't know. I think you get more for Phaneuf than a guy on waivers.
Yeah, yeah, and that salary.
That salary too. In my hemisphere here, the Penguins made a trade last night. They got rid of Marcel Gotch, who didn't do anything.
Right,
Maxime Le Perrier.
Now, what do you think about that trade?
Yeah. I think it's an amazing trade, even though Max could sometimes go off the reservation.
Now, why would they even want Gotch? I mean, what's the deal with that? He's only got two goals. Why would they even... Why would they dump LaPerriere?
I don't know why they want Gotch. I don't know. I mean, to me, Gotch is... Why Gotch isn't a healthy scratch for us, I don't even know. Even when there was AHL guys coming up, they were playing better than Gotch. I know Gotch is supposed to win faceoffs. I've never seen him do that. He kills penalties, like, but, you know, not really. I mean, he's not like an amazing penalty killer. Gotch, to me, is just a nobody. And LaPerriere is a persistent playoff performer. He gets in people's faces. He's a big, strong number four center, which we needed. Jim Rutherford has done nothing wrong. He's made about eight moves I love and nothing I do not like. I love Jim Rutherford.
Well, it sounds like that was a good move for you guys.
And now you hear the two things I'm hearing now is I'm hearing Kunitz possibly. I know how much I love Kunitz, but I hear he's slowing down. Kunitz for Boschman.
Wow.
Of the Ducks. I've always been a big Boschman guy. I don't know what happened in Toronto, but I don't know why the Ducks would trade Boschman, but that's another story.
Well,
but the biggest news in Pittsburgh right now is, and probably the greatest thing I've ever heard since my daughter's healthy, is Jaromir Jagr may be coming back to Pittsburgh.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I know that makes you happy.
Play with Gino.
Wow. Well, he can still play.
It'll be great with Gino.
Yeah.
And Gino, I guess you know what I'm saying with Spong. They, you know, scored winger, played a second power play, just get some minutes. They need, every team could use Jagr. Even every team of all time could use the 78 Canadians could use Jagr.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys. You're right. He's one of those guys you can always use because he still can play.
Yeah, and he can score. What it's proven is the Penguins need guys that can score big goals. Since five years ago, people shrink. The one man that never shrinks in the moment is Jaromir Jagr. So,
well, and that's what you need going down the stretch. Somebody can put that puck in the net. He's always been able to do it. That'd be kind of a cool move if you guys got him.
it would be the greatest move ever. It's like when Lemieux came back, it was like the resurrection. I mean, it was like so ridiculous. But even more ridiculous is the fact that Jagr may come back.
Yeah, that's
pretty... everything, Jagr. We'll see what happens though. I don't want to get too crazy because it's the same organization misspelled Crosby's name on the cover last night of the program.
That's pretty bad. Well, I know Yags isn't happy where he is, you know.
So. Well, you know, they're going to move him, and they'll want to pick for him. So. But, yeah, I don't know if you caught that, but the Cindy, they spelled it Cindy, so all my flyer friends all immediately attacked me on Twitter and Facebook, and my brother-in-law emailed it to me.
That's funny. Looking out for you.
Well, you know what, though? This division, though, is, you know, now we're getting Hornquist came back. We're going to get, I know Gino's hurt right now, but we're going to get Como back. You know, other than we don't have Motto, which hurts because I'm telling you, Ehrhoff is our problem at defense. He's weaker than, you know, he's weaker than hot dog poop.
That's pretty weak.
I mean, the Islanders, they won another game from the Rangers last night. I watched it here.
Yeah, did you watch that game?
The Islanders are on fire, and they scored even without a Poto, though. The great Kyle Raposo is out 6 to 8 weeks, and that's Tavares' main man.
Yeah, but they looked good in that game, didn't they?
They smoked the Rangers, and the Rangers are building us up like it's Armageddon, and we're going to go into Long Island and win it. We've been smoked the last two games in a row, and I mean the Islanders just took it to them.
Well, and Halak's playing well.
Halak is playing great. You just can't stop those four lines. That's what the fans are going to do. They got to keep acquiring guys to make four tough lines. I found it weird they gave Connor Buck, our boy, one of our favorite goons of the week, he just took the – he got the James Neal Award for taking the diving fine.
He did, really? Oh, yeah. Man. Love that guy.
Really crazy, because I've never seen Clutterbuck dive ever.
No, he doesn't seem like a diver.
No, so they're really scrutinizing people. So everyone watch out. If they can find Clutterbuck, I mean, I don't think anybody's safe.
It's pretty funny. Yeah, well, you know, we'll see, because you're right. They are really playing well. The Islanders are playing great, and your division's real tight, man.
Yeah, we all came back to Earth.
Yeah.
And now the Capitals are they're up our butt now. So
yeah, they're coming.
We gotta see, we're playing them tonight on a rival. Tonight is a huge night, and thank God I'll be home tomorrow, and my great wife is TiVoing the games for me. Because it's Pens, Caps, and then Blackhawks, Kings.
Yeah, the Blackhawks, Kings tonight.
It doesn't get better than that tonight.
No.
But of course, people hear this on Friday.
Yeah, but yeah, right. It'll be. But you know what? That is exciting. Anytime the Kings play Chicago, and Kings really need every game now. Don't they?
Yeah. I mean, and I'll tell you what, Chicago, it's funny, it's funny who they beat and who they don't beat. Like, we, the Penguins last night beat Winnipeg without Sid and Gino. And, you love Winnipeg. I love watching Winnipeg play. It was a dogfight. When Penguins play Winnipeg, it's one of the best games you see all year. And the Winnipeg is 3-0 against Chicago.
Are they? Yeah. Well,
I mean, Winnipeg has a chance, an outside chance to win that division.
Man, I would love to see that. I like Winnipeg, man. They've had a good year. They've had a real good year.
It was funny. Everyone's like, Buffalo's on the block, Kane's on the block, beginning of the year, Evander Kane. And now it's like they would never lose them. I mean, they would never get rid of them. They're up for the division title. Because St. Louis will stumble again with their goaltending.
Well, you know they will.
Chicago, I don't think, cares about the division. And Nashville, Pekka Rinne is out.
He's out, and they're still winning.
Yeah.
You know, he's the guy that we said was MVP so far this year, and he's not even in right now. Nashville's having a good year. I don't know. You know, they're playing very well. But again, that's a pretty tight division, too. And Winnipeg's right on Chicago's tail.
Yeah, and all those teams have to keep winning because, Dallas and the Avalanche dug themselves a big hole. But, you know, they still could, you know, you never want the great Rudy Ruff to pull off of, like, an eight-game winning streak, which Dallas certainly can, especially if they make a deadline deal. You know, it kind of changes the momentum. You give that team some defense. That's why I can't believe the Penguins would get Beauchemin, because, I can't believe Beauchemin's on the block. And, B, there's teams that would need way more defense than the Penguins. And I think would pay, an ungodly fee for Beauchemin.
Well, now, let's take a look at some of the guys that are out there. I mean, who's available defensively?
Well, yeah, according to the great Darren Dreger, from TSN.
Right.
There's about maybe 15 guys that are on the... I think it makes me question this. That's New York just exploded. The only thing that makes me question this is that he put Paul Martin as a name on the block. And that might have been true a month ago, even though I was begging it not to happen. But with Ole Mata injured...
You got to keep Martin. No, you got to keep Martin. Yeah. Who do you think the best defensive prospect is out there that could go?
You know, Chris Phillips of Ottawa, I think is a good defenseman.
Okay.
And solid old-time veteran guy, but a little bit of puck handling, can play it either way. You know, he's a stable. The guy I really like, too, is from the same Ottawa Senators as Mark Messier.
From the Senators.
Kind of a big bruiser. He's a big bruiser guy. He's not slow. Still got young legs. I really like Messier. I would go after him if I was looking for... I'd like to see the Penguins get him, actually. Or anybody, or the Kings. or any team I root for.
You think he'd be good on the Kings? He'd be good on the Kings, right? They could use a guy like that, a big guy.
Oh, Mathot would be great on the Kings. So would Chris Phillips. Just, you know, a lot of guys look at it. I'll tell you who else who may really come to play is a guy that's really a number two pick overall that's never lived up to it, Tyler Myers.
Yeah,
like
Tyler Myers.
Nine guy. He's like a poor man's Chara.
Yeah, he looks like
Chara. He gets in the way of a lot of people. And Sutter might be able to coach him up when it comes to the Kings. I mean, I don't think anyone ever looks good in Buffalo after Lindy Ruff left. So, you know, he's a guy.
So he's
I know Toronto's guys are on the way out. Jake Gardner.
Gardner.
And Cody Franson, but they don't play defense in Toronto, so what makes anybody think they're going to play defense anywhere
That's
else?
True. How about Keith Yandle?
I think Yandle's too much handle.
Okay.
if you're an old guy, you know, a team that maybe would want maybe look at it, maybe Chicago, maybe St. Louis, guys that really have enough good defensemen that maybe just kind of want the guy in the power play. You know, but I wouldn't want Keith Yandle playing top 4 minutes in the Stanley Cup final.
Right. No, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
You know, the guy who I love to hate, the guy who I think would, and I still would want, even though we got Maxime LaPerriere, who's on this list, is Chris Neal from Ottawa. You know, he's a shift disturber. He's a tough guy. He takes on anybody. He scores big goals together, and he backs your teammates. I think Chris Neal would be the steal of the trade deadline.
Well, you know, you got a lot of guys on the list here from Ottawa,
yeah,
right, yeah, and
Arizona. The guy who is also from Arizona defenseman is the Bennett McCauley.
McCauley, yeah.
I wouldn't trade him for a warm six. I wouldn't want him for a warm six pack. I never saw a more overrated defense. When he came to the Penguins, he didn't stop anybody. He just falls on the ground and helps the puck hit him. As a forward, though, another tough guy that can skate a little bit, who I think the Penguins are going to go after. I have no inside information, though, is Zach Cassian. Right winger, Zach Cassian. I love that guy. He throws hammers. He's a big guy. Zach Cassian is going to make somebody happy. If Vancouver thinks they're out of it, Vancouver might not think they're out of it, though. So,
well, so, and you think
Eric Cole, big body in Dallas. I'm sure if Dallas thinks so, he could go. People are saying Antoine Vermette from Arizona, center. I am not sold on Antoine Vermette. I don't know who would want him. Cheap, I guess, for, I don't know. The guy from Toronto who I like, they say he's on the block, is Jeffrey Lupul.
Okay.
He's been hurt, but you know who Lupul is, a cap. He's been hurt, but the guy scores some big goals.
Yeah, yeah. So if for the Pens, you'd like to see him get Cassian?
Yeah, I think, or Neal. I think one more tough guy up front. It'd be a Neal or, you know, even there's a Matt Hendricks from Edmonton. They say he's on the blocks. He's a character guy, Matt Hendricks. Matt Hendricks is like a guy that takes a skate to the face and comes back the same shift. I love Matt Hendricks. He's a good guy. And maybe Zach Cassian. They're both kind of the same breed. I think Zach's more of a fighter. I think Hendricks is a little bit more speed guy.
Yeah,
a big defense. It's always this time of year. Everyone wants the same thing.
Well,
toughness up front and big defenseman in the back.
Well, that's right. What do you think the Kings' chances are of getting Mathot?
I think the Kings' chances are good at getting Mathot. I think the Kings have a great AHL team, and obviously they have young guys. I mean, Pearson is not going to be hurt forever. And Toffoli's not going to be hurt forever. So you don't need as many draft picks and young guys.
Toffoli, I saw Toffoli might be back tonight.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he's over the mono finally. And I think they said he was cleared to play tonight.
Another guy that's out there that I think that the Kings could definitely use is Rob O'Reilly. He won the Lady Bing last year. He scores a lot of goals for Colorado.
For Colorado, yeah.
This year. But he's a Lady Bing, so he can't go to a team that needs toughness. He needs to go to a team like the Kings that are tough.
Yeah. And can get you some goals.
And Stafford's out there. Stafford can score a little bit from Buffalo. Michael Ryder's out there. He's in Jersey now. He's been around the league for a while. He can score a few for you. Brad Boyles. There's a lot of those hired assassins that can play a little third line, score some goals for you. I mean, it's going to be an interesting deadline because it's going to be interesting to see who's in and who's out.
Well, you know,
that's why we very rarely break down games. Because we're behind a couple days. But I thought it's interesting just to see who got out of the gate early, like right after the All-Star break. And you put up a big win, then you're Detroit Red Wings.
Well, yeah. I mean, six in a row, man.
A team they wanted to step on.
Well, and it was
Mazarek.
Steven Weiss.
It's another win.
Steven Weiss. And Mazarek's playing well, isn't he?
He's playing very well. He's playing exceptionally well. I think Jimmy Howard better get on the bike.
Yeah, we like this kid, man. He is playing well, and we've won six in a row. We're at the top of the division in the Atlantic, and we're looking pretty good right now.
You're on top of the division.
Yeah.
How great is that?
That's awesome. That is awesome. Red Wings look good.
I tell you what, too, and Mazarek looks so good. I mean, you literally... Or Mazarek, it's a guy who even Twittered me the exact spelling.
What is it? How do you?
Yeah, I was not spelling the exact pronunciation. I have to go look on my Twitter. I'm going to stay in the zone here.
But he's...
I know it's Mazarek or Mazarek. I'm not good at that even on the dictionary, though. They show you how to say it.
Even when they show you phonetically, it's hard to... Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely Mazarek or Mazarek.
But he's playing great.
He's playing great. And when I come back to the studio, we'll have it all figured out. But they beat a team they had to beat, you know. They beat Florida. You want to push Florida down. That's like the Preds. The Preds won last night. They beat the Avs. The Avs needed that game.
Yeah.
Why is the Avalanche losing without Pekka Rinne in the game?
Well,
You know, I mean, that's a bad sign. It's a bad sign for Mr. Wall. You know, that's a bad sign.
Well, it sure is, because when you got him out of there, you got to try to get some points, because he's the best goalie in the league to me. And when he gets back, Predators are really looking good.
Yeah, I mean, they got beat by Carter Hutton. That sounds like a rodeo guy.
Yeah, it could be a rodeo guy.
One of the Avengers started playing goal for Nashville. You know, Carter Hutton. I mean... Wall must be going insane. Yeah. I mean, they need any point they could get, and they lose to Nashville without Rene.
Yeah, you don't want to do. And you know, right now for those teams, those bubble teams, it's real important to get off to a good start out of the All-Star break, isn't it? You got to get that momentum.
Yeah, I mean, and the Stars didn't. Lindy didn't do it either. The Canadiens beat the Stars. Boom. The Nats step right back in, playing good hockey. The Ducks step back in. I mean, that's why I think the Canucks. I think the Canucks are going to have a fire sale, because Anderson shut him out last night for the Ducks.
Yeah, Anderson's playing well, and the Ducks are playing great. And what do you think? I mean, do the Ducks keep this going? Do they have that thing that sometimes happens to them in the playoffs where they have a rough time, don't live up to their regular season play, or are they going to continue with this? Because they look great.
They look great. Well, you know, there won't be confusion this year if they have to scratch Timo Solani.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
I'm crazy from the snow. I'm laughing at my own joke.
That is pretty funny, though.
It's Barbecue Bruce.
Yeah.
You never know.
You never know with that guy.
He made Sid Anderson for Brizgalov last week of the season. You know,
yeah.
We have to see what they do at the deadline. I want them to acquire, as much as I want Boshinen to go to the Penguins. They should be acquiring defense, rugged defensemen. They shouldn't be giving up their one of their only rugged defensemen up front. I think they're as good as they're going to get. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not worried about them up front. I think, and if Anderson can just not let barbecue getting his head. And I think there's a good chance as anyone to win the West.
Well, they're at 70 points right now, first team to 70, and they're looking real good. And you're right, their front line scoring is great. It's just, do they have any needs at the deadline?
I think you can always get a big guy that can, a more rugged guy, a more playoff kind of veteran guy. You know, and they're out there. You know, maybe they could use an Eric Cole, maybe. You know, but, you know, right now, you know, 70 points. You hate to break up. They play playoff hockey now. If they had 70 points, like say the Penguins do, or and you can see they're missing a little bit of the toughness. I don't think the Ducks miss any toughness.
Now,
do you? I mean, you watch a lot of Ducks games.
No, they're tough. They're tough.
Yeah,
they're a tough team, and they stick up for each other. And they did that last night against Vancouver. And they've got pretty much, I think, the best team in the league right now in terms of how they're playing now. You always worry about a team peaking too early, you know, like we've seen San Jose do on many occasions.
Yeah. And that's why San Jose's guys are on the list, Dan Drager's list. It's funny, Dan Drager doesn't include like all the guys anyone would want from San Jose.
Right.
They're gonna have the same problem every year. If all you want to trade is Tyler Kennedy and Matt Irwin, you know, nothing's gonna change.
It won't change.
You know?
No.
I mean, maybe it's Patrick Marleau for Kunitz.
Yeah, man.
I mean, maybe Marlon makes too much money, but I mean that would change the culture. Kunitz is a winner; he's a leader.
I like Kunitz. I've always thought he was great. I can't believe, you know, you'd let him go. But
he made my top. Yeah, I think he was number six on my all-time favorite Penguins of all time. I loved him. I'm just saying what I'm hearing and what's out there, and who's available and who's on the block. I love Kunitz, but he has slowed down. But I think he would make a big difference in San Jose. You know.
Sometimes, just like you say, a change of culture, gives a guy a spark.
Well, apparently, and I don't think he doesn't like the new coach. He didn't like the way Disco was let go and all that drama. And I guess he hasn't been the happiest camper this year, but, you know, so what? He's scoring some big goals. He is a little slower, but they knocked him down in the third line, which he's great for the third line. I think Kunitz would do good on a different team. Obviously, he's doing pretty good on our team, but he's exactly what the Sharks need.
Well, I think he'd be a good pickup for a lot of teams. I still think he's got some gas in the tank, and I think he's a good, real good player. And he can score when you need him to.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. And the Sharks need someone in the room that's actually won something.
Yeah, that wouldn't
hurt. It's been their biggest problem. A bunch of guys think. I mean, the curse of James Neal. A lot of the guys in that locker room think they've won something. They haven't won anything.
Yeah, that's always an issue there. They always have a pretty good team, and then something happens, and they fade. So, yeah, maybe a guy like Kunitz would help him.
I'm not kicking Kunitz out the door just yet. But is it time for the Goon of the Week?
Yeah, let's go with Goon of the Week. I think Maria's ready with the theme song. Are we ready?
One sec.
We're going to get it queued up here. And, what do we got? We got some interesting stuff going on. I like the goalie fight.
Yeah, I thought that's right in your repertoire.
Yeah, I love it when goalies fight. Oh, there we go. Best possible theme song for Goon of the Week. And what are our options here, Joe?
Well, since we didn't have any games since we last did this, we have always have a flyer just for the sake of goons. And Ronaldo only getting 8 games was a joke. It was an absolute joke. They have a meeting. They have a players-only meeting. They say, hey, Claude Giroux's like, hey, we need to go out and hurt the Penguins. So his first shift, he goes out and you know, charges back of his uniform to the head, jumps and hits an all-star in Letang. It's a joke. He only got eight games. He's like a 10-time. He's been suspended like millions of times. That was a joke. So that's just my way of bringing up me to bitch about Ronaldo.
Well, that was a cheap shot. That was a real cheap shot. Yeah.
The two that are in there now is Dave Lowry's kid, who plays for Dave Lowry played 19 years in the league. I love him. His kid's even bigger than he is. He's 6'5". He crushed Steve Downey last night. So we'll give him a pop just for that.
Okay.
But none of those compare to the two goalies that fought in the major junior leagues.
I love that.
Yeah, the Central Canadian Hockey League, their junior A's, the Pembroke Lumber Kings, took on the Carlton Place Canadians. And Jordan Piccolino of Pembroke and Guillaume Therrien of Carlton Place brawled at center ice. And then, as good sportsmen and good Canadians did, they hugged it out afterwards.
You got to love that. I'm going with the goalies as goon of the week.
I know you would. As showing you how I'm still with it in total spirit 100% on this show that I love and take so seriously, it's already up on the Puck Off page on Facebook.
See, you're like Kreskin. You're a step ahead of everyone. I love it, man. Next thing you know, you'll be bending spoons.
I want everyone to be able to see it because I think it's great.
Yeah,
and the other
that's
thing,
cool.
And this other thing that I tried to put up there, I don't have the skills. When I get back in the home office at Liberty International, I'll have Maria or Heather help me out. And I tried to copy and paste it, and I don't know, unless they have some secret thing where I couldn't do it. Did you see the Russian penalty shot shootout the other night?
No.
Oh, my God. This guy's named Nikita Gusev. Sickest penalty shot. They even advertise it. You'll watch this 100 times. It's the most ridiculous shootout penalty shot you've ever seen.
Kevin. Really? Really? What does he do?
Yeah. If you just Google any audience out there, like I said, I tried to put it on the Facebook page. It wouldn't let me steal it off of it. You just put Russian penalty shot. It's ridiculous. He does like a spinorama, a toe drag in between like. And he does like a Russian sickle, like lacrosse move. You have to. It's just ridiculous.
Wow, better than Hurdle's goal last year.
Well, no, Hurdle's goal was in live competition.
In a real game,
competition.
Yeah.
That's like that's why it made Dominique my favorite dunker because he would do it in traffic and he did in a game.
That's different. Yeah. Well, I got to check that. I didn't see it.
Yeah, and I'll try it when I'm more computer savvy. When I'm with the great Levity people, they'll help me put it out there. But I tried to, fans. And fantasy. Are we ready for fantasy?
Yeah. How you doing, man? Do we have we got Maria's going to get that. I want to find out. Here we go. So what's going on with your fantasy team?
Well, we're still, it all comes down to goaltending.
It always does.
And even though Letang had 5 assists for me last night, I'm still in 4th place. I think 4th makes the playoffs, but I'm way behind area. I'm 15 back. Area 51 is still kicking everyone's butt. Elbowing is 9 back. Pronger's cap hit, who is probably my favorite name of any team because
Great name. It's so smart. Yeah, good name.
It's such a smart, funny joke.
Yeah.
He's 1 point ahead of me. And I'm kind of scared because Giroux's butt grab is right up my butt. Point behind me.
He's grabbing at your butt.
And then the great Antti Niemi. I hope this sounds good. Are we sounding good for the fans? They really listen and they really love it, so I hope this sounds good.
No, it does, man, but you're in 4th place. I don't know, dude. Area 51
When I get back, I'm telling you, it's over. I'm going to be like Rutherford. I'm just going to just clean house.
Wow, man. Well, yeah,
Well, Jimmy Howard has to get off the training table in the Zerk. Flowers, you've been getting suntanned by the goal light lately. So Flower needs this. I was riding Flower and Jimmy Howard And now it's time to score some goals myself.
Yeah, you got to put some goals in, and you got to get that goaltending shored up. You got to get your guys back, man. Well, you know, fourth place, you're still alive. But, you know, here we go, home stretch, you know. And
You know, there's one thing that we did not mention yet.
What's that?
And I'm embarrassed we didn't. This is in your department, actually. The great Martin Brodeur.
Oh, yes. Retired. Yes. He's going to the home office. What do you think? What do you play, like 7 games?
I think in 20 years it'll be like no one will remember Joe Namath as a Ram or, you know, Willie Mays as a Met, but I think he just should have stayed in New Jersey. But I guess he actually thought he could still play. And in that case, I can't begrudge a man that wants to still play. Because look at me. I'm out there with hernias and bad backs trying to play comic basketball. So, you know.
Well, you know.
I wish he would. Well, it's weird he's going to go to the Blues front office.
Yeah, yeah.
So that'll always be hanging. So I guess he's going to go to camp with him next. He'll probably come back next year, right?
Well, I'm sure he will. Yeah. You know, it's hard to come back. And I don't know. That was probably a smart move, though. Because, you know, at his age, I don't know. He had such a great career. And you're right. You don't want to see people come on. You're right. It's like when Michael Jordan goes to the Wizards. You know, it's just, you know, you'd rather leave the good memories. And, you know, probably be a good job for him in the front office.
Maybe that was one of the things that got him out of retirement was, if it doesn't work out, you'll have a job in the front office, because I don't think there's any jobs in Jersey's front office. I think it's all Lou Lamoriello, right?
Yeah, well, everything. Yeah. You got the entire front office behind the bench.
Yeah.
In Jersey.
Yeah, I think Lou's wife, like, sells the tickets. And, yeah.
It's a family affair. Well, now, okay, here we go into the home stretch. What do you see happening? What do you see? Do you think the Kings make the playoffs?
I really hope. I don't know. Let me look at the standings. They got to win tonight. They got to win tonight.
One.
They got to start out. You got to start out saying, you know, hey, our season's turning around right now, right?
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I think Vancouver's going to drop out. But Calgary, I mean, Johnny Hockey just scored 2 big goals last night for a win.
Yeah, he did.
Calgary's not going away.
That's what I was thinking. That's what worries me. They're not, you know, they're playing good.
Let me tell you something. In the last 10, the Kings are 2-3-5. That's not saying that we're hungry for the playoffs.
Well, and they don't seem to be... you know, last year they were in a bad position, too, going into the All-Star break. They were really only a game, I think, up on what they were this year going into the break. But, you know, they looked better in the second half. They got Gabrick, and they started really picking up steam. To do that now, I don't know. They just haven't looked good.
I don't think they've looked good either, but I'll tell you something. They get a defenseman, and they get to Foley back. I think they're going to look a lot better.
Well, sure.
I think Toffoli is going to be huge. Toffoli and Pearson were carrying them, and it was in it for a long time until Kopitar and Gavrik and Carter woke up there for that month.
Well, I really think it helps to get Toffoli back. You're right, and I'd love to see him get Mathot from Ottawa.
Yeah, I would too. I think that'd be, but you know, Calgary is not going away. I think Vancouver will go away. I think San Jose, well, they're 6 points behind. They're 4 points behind San Jose. So they're right there. They're right there. But they got to play better.
They got to play better. Yeah. That's the thing.
I'm worried about Dallas and Colorado. I'm worried because I love Colorado's offense, and I think Iggy got a raw deal in Pittsburgh. And I'd love to see Iggy get a shot at a cup. But, you know, they're 9 points behind Winnipeg. Winnipeg's like, they better hope Nashville falls on his face. But, you know, they didn't do it. You know, Colorado, they had their chance. They didn't do it. That must make, look at that. If they win that game last night, they're they are that's a 4-point slate.
Well, you're right. You're right, and you got to win that. You
got a proverbial 4-point game.
You got to win that when Rennie's out too. You know.
Yeah, that's a shame. But you know, let's go Winnipeg.
Oh, I love it, man.
The East is like a dogfight, but it's almost all set. You know, I mean, it's basically set in the Metropolitan. It's just up to Boston and Florida to figure it out.
Yeah. Now, how does Boston do? Do they get in?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think they do. So unless they fall so far behind the pack that they don't get they don't qualify for the wild card, because it really is the top three. They have to keep pace with the Capitals, I believe, and they're tied with the Capitals.
Yeah.
So
they both have 57 points right now.
Yeah,
I think they get in.
It's going to be exciting down the. It's going to be exciting down the run, man.
Man, it is. It always is. And this year, most of the races are pretty tight. So it's going to be interesting.
We'll get back there, and the Penguins are coming out west. So maybe we'll go. So I'm definitely going to see him play some games if they come, Captain.
Sure, man. Absolutely. You and Court will be at the game.
We'll definitely be there.
Well, you know, this is when it gets exciting, and we'll see what happens with the trade deadline. You know, we went over some of the possibilities today, and it's always interesting to see what happens. You know, it can really...
How are you? Who's on Canada West this week?
This week, we have Carlos Mencia is coming on, and... last week we had Paul Rodriguez, so it's a Hispanic theme.
I know. You're just bringing the heat.
And then the Dice Man. By the way, I'd like to remind people, if you want to hear the interview with Andrew Dice Clay, go to 95.5KLOS.com and check out the podcast. Pretty interesting. Pretty awesome.
And I'm so happy for you. The KLOS announced the big advertising campaign for you. That's amazing.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Yeah, that's another thing I'd like to encourage all the Puck Off fans to do is check out at 95.5KLOS.com. Just go. Fraser Smith has a new promotional idea. I have them once every 10 years, guys. So check this one out. They've got a little video on there. We did a bunch of videos that are kind of like the ESPN, kind of the workplace hallway videos that they do with the awkward endings and everything. And we got our first one up, so I'd like you to go on there and like it if you can, if you will. I'd appreciate it. So,
please, everyone support the Captain, because he's the best. He's a legend. And whenever Fraser on the radio, like, the radio is no good. So,
well, thank you, buddy.
And banging Fraser on the radio.
Well, when the Puck Off fans get behind you, you can't lose. They are the greatest.
Fans are the best, and I hope this sounded okay. I will be back live in studio no matter what next week. And I'm going to have my hernia surgery, so I'll be around. I'll be in L.A.
Well, you'll
There'll be no phone-ins for a few weeks.
You won't be able to leave town with that. Well, you know, I hope you get out of there okay, and I'm glad the shows went great in New York. And we miss you here, but we'll see you next week.
All right.
All right, Joey.
Thanks to all the fans for listening, and thank you, everyone at the studio, for putting up with me being away. Thank you guys so
well
much.
We miss you, buddy. Can't wait for you to get back, and we thank you. Gang, that is it for Puck Off. For Joe Bartnick, this is Fraser Smith. We are out.